following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, September 5th, 2022.
The woman in your life who will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. With me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, and my co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Wow, here it is, September 5th. Where did August go? I have no idea. It just flew away, and it's going to be a hot one here in Sonoma County. I understand that they're predicting 104 degrees. I mean, that is just amazing to me. Well, I have two special guests this morning. First joining me on the phone will be Eva Granahan, and we'll be talking about the event Appley Ever After. I love that. Appley Ever After. And she'll explain what that means, which will be happening at the Arlene Francis Center in Santa Rosa on September 10th. And I'm looking forward to hearing what this is all about. Also joining on the me on the phone will be Major Renee Marie, a U.S. Army retired. She retired in 2017. Renee founded the program in 2002. It's called Peace Poles for Schools. I mean, I'm really interested in hearing about that. I'm looking forward to hearing about her experience in the Army and her achievement of raising to the rank of major, and also what this whole Peace Poles in schools is all about. Well, first, let's go. I have two I have a very sad announcement. My dear friend Kathleen Finnegan had made her transition on Saturday, and Kathleen was an activist. She was on the Human Rights Commission, and she also was very much involved with the homeless situation here in Sonoma County, and also was a great letter writer. I just loved her letters to the editors and any of the articles that she wrote for the Sonoma County Gazette. So my condolences to her two daughters and her family, and to all the friends out there who I know are mourning this sudden transition for Kathleen Finnegan. She was really, one of the things about Kathleen I just loved. I loved her smile and I loved her hair. And rest in peace, Kathleen. We will miss you definitely. Well, on the upside right now, I have two very special happy birthdays. My number one fan, Randolph Randy Hurley. I found out he has a beautiful middle name. It's Randolph DeJohn Hurley, which is really a beautiful name. I want to wish him a happy, happy birthday, a life filled with good health and happiness and joy. I mean, Randy is a inspiration for many of us, that's for sure. And then September 6th is my great-granddaughter Satori Trinity Jensen's fourth birthday. You know, it's just amazing that 4 years have gone by. It's just amazing that I'm even a great-grandmother. So happy birthday, Satori, and I know we're going to have a wonderful, wonderful party on Saturday. I'm really looking forward to it. And I know my granddaughter, Caitlin, and her partner, Trevor, are visiting. I want to do a shout-out to them and just say hello. But above all, happy, happy birthday, Satori. What a blessing you are into our life. I mean, it just, when I think about it, you know, there's a line in one of Neil Young's song. It's called Old Man. And it's one of the lines is, Old Man, you were once me. And, you know, it just really reminds you that we were all children at one time, you know, and we can go back to that and figure out what the children need. It was very, very disturbing when I was listening to Howard Zinn talking about wars or really about the killing of children. It's really very, very sad. Children are a miracle. They're a precious gift to us. And as women, we must stand up. We are the ones who produce life. We are the ones that bring life in. And we have to say no more, no more killing of children. I mean, I know for myself, being a great grandmother, it has brought me to a new awareness of the absolute miracle of children. you know, what they bring to us, the joy and the innocence. And remember, they're an open slate that we draw on, and we have to really, really be careful of that. You know, they say there's an old saying, there was a poem at one time, I remember in the 60s when it came out, when I was a very young mother, and that was, children learn what they live. In other words, if you learn about love, you're going to be a loving person. If you learn about hate and fear, you're going to be a hateful and fearful person. It's that simple to me. I mean, these little miracles we are very responsible for. Well, today we're celebrating Labor Day 2022, and this year will mark Labor Day's 140th anniversary in America. And while there are numerous variations celebrated around the world, ours here in the United States has its own little history, and you know that I love history. Our history is our strength. Many of the rights we enjoy and take for granted today were handed down by the labor movement in the late 19th century. Labor Day was created to honor the women and men who campaign tirelessly for workers' rights, such as a 40-hour week. You know, my father told me that at one time, people didn't work 40 hours a week. They worked a lot longer. That's an 8-hour day. They had 16-hour days, which is really, amazing. So they worked hard for a 40-hour week, safe work conditions, paid time off, and sick leave. Can you imagine what it was like before? You know, and they saw that there could be no freedom and liberty in this country without economic freedom for the working class. I mean, a whole middle class was developed out of that and then destroyed, you know, during the Ronald Reagan ages. They also work for the holidays to get holidays off, and the holiday honors the source of this nation's strength, American workers, union, and labor leaders. No matter how you decide to celebrate today, 2022, take time to reflect and pay tribute to all the laborers, past and present, who helped build America and make it the country it is today. And I have to do a tribute, a shout out, a great appreciation for my father, Solomon Holtz, who was a devoted labor person. I mean, he fought for labor rights ever since he was a young boy. And one of his themes was, he said, Elaine, he said, I never met a boss who would give us a raise without a fight. Never met a boss that would give us a raise without a fight. You know, it's really interesting how greed has taken over in so many different places. Well, I have one announcement to make, and that is that on September 19, 2022, from 7 to 8:30 p.m., Sonoma County Now, the National Organization for Women, Sonoma County Chapter, we're going to have their monthly board and membership meeting in person. Oh, this is going to be very, very good. It's going to be at the Peace and Justice Center, and I'm really excited about it, at 467 Sebastopol Avenue, Santa Rosa, 95401. And if you want it, you have to get a ticket because it's limited to 20 people. That's all because of the COVID and all the other things that are going on. At the Peace and Justice Center, they have a limit of only 20 people. So it's first come, first serve. And what you can do is go on the Now Sonoma County, that's nowsonomacounty.org, and you can find out all the information, how you sign up and how you get it. Evan Bright is taking care of it, but all the codes are there. And also remember, everything we talk about on this show is all listed on www.womenspaces. A lot going on, that's for sure. You know, and listen, you know, we're having a pretty tight show, and what I've decided to do, instead of doing the pledge on the last Monday of the month, I'm going to start doing it on the first Monday of the month. But because we have a little tight show, all I'm going to do is I'm just going to say the pledge and just absorb it. And if any of you folks ever want a copy of the pledge or to make a donation, all you have to do is email me at elaineb.holtz@gmail.com, and I'll make sure that's arranged. And let's just go over the pledge real quick. I'll just say it once and then just absorb it. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. I say that five times before I go on the air, because to make sure that I'm not worried, oh, what is this one thinking about me? Am I saying the right thing? No, I just say it over and over five times. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and our higher power. And, you know, you can put anything you want for higher power in there. God, Jesus, you know, your dog. I mean, whatever is your spiritual path. Anyway, that's a lot to think about. Well, as I do every Monday morning, I give you a little overview. Our history is our strength. And so I'm going to go over just a few happy birthdays. One of my favorite people was born September 1st, 1933, and she made her transition in 2006. And then Ann Richards, she was the second woman elected governor for the state of Texas in 1990. What a powerful woman she was, and was not afraid to speak truth to power and to be who she was when she was, and to make some of the greatest decisions in Texas for children and for schools. Another person that I think is very, very important, and she was born on September 6, 1860, and made her transition in 1935. Wow, this is the same birthday as my great-granddaughter, Satori. It's Jane Addams, founder of the Hull House of Chicago, the first major settlement house, the first American woman to receive the Nobel Prize in 1931. She was a suffragette, and she helped establish the American Civil Liberties Union in 1920. I mean, that's a very, very powerful group, the American Civil Liberties Group. And, you know, this woman was born in 1860, and look what she accomplished. Amazing. I mean, she didn't even have the vote when she was born. I mean, when you think of some of these women as we stood up and did what they did, they are truly an inspiration for me. And now we're into Labor Day, and here is September 4th. This woman was born in 1906, and she made her transition in 1988. And I love it. She has my first name, Elaine Yanda. She was a labor organizer with the International Longshoremen's Union. Oh, my God, can you imagine that? It's just amazing. She argued for free daycare for women and equal pay for equal work in the 1930s. You know, she interned in 1940. She was interned in 1942 with her Japanese American husband because she felt family should all stay together. Oh, look at here. This woman worked so hard, and here comes World War II, and all of a sudden she's in an internment camp. But happy birthday to Elaine Yonanda. And then another woman in the labor union, the labor movement, was born on September 8th, 1859, and she made her transition in 1918. Mary M. Kimball Q. She was a union organizer, co-founder of the Union for Industrial Progress in 1892. And the first president of the National Women's Trade Union League in 1903. Can you imagine what the struggle must have been like in 1903 compared to today? And not only that, they didn't have the media. How did they get the word out? How did they communicate with one another? It was just amazing. Well, there's a lot to think about, you know, and I want to just thank all the union organizers here in Sonoma County and in the whole Bay Area for the wonderful, wonderful work you're doing. It feels like the unions are on the rise again. And I know my father, I'm sure he's turning over saying, yay, good job, you guys, and happy that I would be announcing this on the air. Well, Ken, we're going to take a musical break, if that's okay with you. And to honor all these wonderful women that organize women in unions. I mean, at one time, you know, we had no rights at all. You know, the boss could, you know, you had to stay by your stations. People didn't even get breaks until they unionized. I mean, they would just work 16 hours a day. I mean, oh my goodness, when you think about it. Well, we're going to take a musical break, and the song I'm going to be playing, hey, Union Made, sung by the Harmony Sisters. And when we return, joining me on the phone will be Eva Granahan, and we'll be talking about the event, Appley Ever After, which will be happening at the Arlene Francis Center in Santa Rosa on September 10th.
There once was a union maid who never was afraid of the goons. deputy sheriffs who made the raid. She went to the union hall when the meeting it was called. And when those company boys came round, she always stood her ground.
No, you can't scare me. I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union. No, you can't scare me. I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union till the day I die.
This union maid was wise to the tricks of company spies. She wouldn't be fooled by company stools. She'd always organize the guys. She'd always get her way when they asked for higher pay. She'd show her card to the National Guard, and this is what she'd say.
Oh, you can't scare me. I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union. Oh, you can't scare me. I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union till the day I die.
Take a tip from me. Find you a man who's a union man and join the ladies' auxiliary. Oh, married life ain't hard if you got a union card. A union man leads a happy life if he's got a union wife.
Oh, you can't scare me. I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union. Oh, you can't scare me. I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union till the day I die. We modern union maids are also not to walk the line, leave jobs behind. And we're not just the lazy. We'll fight for equal pay, and we will have our say. We're workers too, the same as you, and fight the union way. Oh, you can't scare me. I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union. Oh, you can't scare me. I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union till the day I die.
Yes, I'm sticking to the union. Well, welcome back. For you just joining, I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of the station, its board of directors, its members, and Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You are listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz, and joining me on the phone is Eva Granahan. Eva, welcome. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
I love that song as an intro. One of my faves.
I didn't hear you, my friend.
Oh, I love that song. I love that song.
Well, I know I do too. I mean, today's Labor Day. What better song can we play? Listen, before we start, I'd like to tell folks a little bit about you. Is that okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, Eva is a Sonoma County local, committed social justice and activist. She writes for the Sonoma County Gazette, that's a free monthly newspaper across the county. For her 30th birthday party, she helped raise money for a community cultural center in the heart of historic Railroad Square District in downtown Santa Rosa. And right now, she's working on a fundraiser with the Arlene Francis Center. This is the first fundraiser she's planned for several years, and she is absolutely enjoying the challenge. And she is the mother of a 2-year-old daughter. Would you like to add anything else, Eva?
That's all, yeah. But, yeah, some people know me as Paul Colling's daughter. He's of Nana Mae's Organics, so we're a local organic apple farming family here in the Sebastopol area.
Well, talk about the Appley Forever fundraiser you are involved with, and what does the name mean, and what was the inspiration behind that name?
Yeah, well, Appley Ever After just feels like the right thing for saying goodbye to summer, and, you know, a lot of people are starting school, and just to mark that transition. Also, in 2019, I had an apple in my eye baby shower for my now 2.5-year-old. And the theme just seemed to really fit with my Apple Girl persona. And on a deeper level, also, we've lost a lot of really amazing people, especially in the last couple years. And I want to acknowledge that. also, we're coming up on the 5-year anniversary of the Tubbs fire in October 2017 is also when I lost my mother. And so this all just ties into just appreciating the time that we have together and, you know, rejoicing in our lives together and celebrating community and each other and music and local art and just really being grateful for our time. And why not bring people together for my 30th birthday and have a great time? And it's all ages and just, you know, bringing kids of all ages, you know, embracing our inner children and having fun, apple bobbing, apple juggling, just all things apple, and then some coloring, all the fun stuff.
It sounds sounds really wonderful. And, you know, the fundraiser is for the Arlene Francis Center in Santa Rosa. Talk a little bit about this center and why you are raising money for them. I mean, why is this important?
Yeah, well, I love the Arlene Francis Center. For years, I've been going there to different theater productions, you know, open mic night. They have comedy improv nights. They have a lot of different music. They have a wide range of things offered there. I've done dance classes. I just really appreciate the space there and just the heart of the center. You know, it was in honor of Arlene Francis, and to just really celebrate art and culture and diversity and to just really give people a space to be themselves and to bring art, creativity, and to share that with people, to learn from each other, and to grow through these times. And so I just really want to make sure they can keep their doors open so I can keep going there.
Well, it's really important. I mean, it's an important center. It's an important focus, you know, and I know you're probably going to have some great music there and also, you know, all kinds of things happening. And, you know, I'm a fan of the Arlene Francis Center. In fact, this is strictly a woman's show, but I did interview the son of Arlene Francis to go over all those things.
Yeah.
What's really interesting about this event, I just love the name. I mean, it's just an I really appreciate you saying, you know, reminding us that each day is so precious, you know, and that we have to appreciate each other. Well, you know, we're coming very quickly to the end of the segment, and I'd like to ask you another question here. Do you hope for any more events like this? And also, last words, your website, give us the date of the events and anything that you want to say about it.
Yeah, I will say real quick on the music, I know you're a fan of Midnight Sun.
Ooh.
So that's going to be there. And also, we have a new reggae band. It's called Nazaré, which is named after the biggest surfable wave in Portugal. And this is two women in Sonoma County started this new reggae band. And they're just really excited about being the biggest new wave of reggae music. That's really exciting. So they're going to be coming on at 1, and then Midnight Sun will be 6. And then as far as the future events, you know, I really do like the theme of, like, happily ever after and apple a day and celebrating, like, the uniqueness of each apple and each person. And, you know, this year is happily ever after for the Arlene Francis Center, and maybe next year will be happily ever after for a different nonprofit or, I could see it being an annual event for raising money for different causes.
Do you have a website or anything? And what are the dates of the events and the address?
Yeah, the date is this coming Saturday, September 10th. It starts at noon. And then at dark, it moves inside and it goes till 11 p.m. So it's an all-day affair at the Arlene Francis Center, which is 99 6th Street, Santa Rosa, right in Railroad Square. And the website for the Arlene Francis Center is arlenefranciscenter.org. The website for the event, you can find it on Facebook or Eventbrite if you want to make an advance donation. And it's donation-based, $30 suggested in honor of my 30th birthday. And, yeah, nobody turned away at the door. So I hope to see people there.
Well, happy birthday to you, my friend. You know, 30 Thank years you. Old, 30 years, the best years of your life. Let me tell you that. I mean, it's just amazing. And I've just I just want to remind our listeners that all the information that Eva has just given us will be on Women's Spaces, www.womenspaces.com. Eva, thank you so much for being on Women's Spaces and for explaining this and for announcing this wonderful event. And I look forward to seeing you.
Yeah, thank you. Maya, you want to say bye?
Bye-bye. Thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you.
Wow. Boy, happily ever after. I love that. You know, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Remember that old saying? You know, I mean, they're very, you know, apples are fiber, but I like this happily ever after. In other words, let's have good health. Let's have community. Let's come together. Well, we're going to take another musical break here, and I will be playing one of my favorite songs. I love Becky Hobbs, and she's just an amazing, amazing woman. And the song we're going to be playing is No More Wars, which I think is very compatible with the fact that we're going to be talking about peace poles that are being put into the schools. When I return, joining me on the phone will be Major Renee Marie, U.S. Army retired. She retired in 2017, and she was the founder of the program Peace Poles in School. So let's go ahead, Ken, let's go ahead and play that song, and let's get a hold of Renee Marie.
If women rule the world, there'd be no more war. If all the men laid down their guns, there'd be no more war. If women rule the world, there'd be peace on. No more killing anymore, there'd be no more war. Calling all my sisters of every race and land, we've been quiet long enough, it's time to take a stand. It's our sons and daughters fighting. Women rule the world, there'd be no more war. If all the men laid down their guns, there'd be no more war. If women rule the world, there'd be peace on earth. No more killing anymore, there'd be no more.
Imagine a world without wars. Imagine what we could do with those billions of dollars that we're blowing up one city after another with. I mean, it's just amazing when you start thinking about it. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz, and joining me on the phone is Major Renee Marie. Welcome, Major May. Renee, are you on there? Welcome.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Elaine. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you fine. You know, just make sure you come close to your phone. How'd you like that song?
It's beautiful. You know, no more war. That's the theme, right?
Oh,
and we've
yes.
been saying it since the beginning of time.
Well, I think it's women like you that are going to help make that possible. So let me tell my folks just a little bit about you, if that's okay. You know,
thank you, Elaine.
I love your name, Renee Marie, and I asked her, I says, Renee, what's your last name? You said, that's my name. Renee Marie is a Sacramento area artist, poet, and retired Army combat veteran. Major Marie located to Sacramento from Vermont in 2006 to serve as Chief Patient Administration Officer for the Army Medical Command's West Coast Community-Based Warrior Transition Union, operating out of the McLean Park Air Force in North Highlands. After 3 years, the Vermont National Guard recalled her to join a deployment to Kabul, Afghanistan in 2010. There, she served as the commander of a level 2 NATO, a NATO clinic serving over 8,000 U.S. coalition troops and local nationals. They met medical rules of engagement criteria. Life, limb, or eyesight emergencies. Wow. She holds a master's degree in speech and language pathology and has worked for over 12 years in public schools across the country before returning to full-time military service. Wow, what a resume, Renee Marie. Is there anything that you'd like to add, my friend?
No. I mean, some of the words were a little off. It was McClellan Air Force Base. But I don't know that your listeners would know even the McClellan, California area. Just it's within Sacramento, but I just wanted to clarify that was the transition unit was on the McClellan Air Force Base.
Well, you know, and also here you are in the military. You made it to the rank of major, which is amazing for a woman. And then you founded and started in 2002 Peace Bowls for the schools. Well, just an amazing, amazing resume. Let's start by talking, what motivated you to join the military, and what were some of your challenges as a woman?
Right, thank you. Well, I want to let, you know, listeners know that very often a person who is both idealistic and has a servant heart, but is also economically insecure. So the military offers like one of the best places to land if a person is looking to find their place in the world, both as, you know, professionally and economically. So back in 1983, I had just finished my bachelor's degree and was looking for work that summer and was feeling pretty nervous about, you know, loans would be coming due. And I took the Army ASVAB test after seeing a commercial on TV that was resonating with me. It's like a Madison Avenue, you know, hook line. And it said, be all you can be because we need you in the Army. And that grabbed me, Elaine, and it called to my servant heart. But it also made me think about the economic security through employment that I could feel. It also tapped into my idealism, and that's how it started.
Well, what were some of your challenges as a woman? I mean, in 1983, you know, women, there was lots going on around women in the military and some of the sexual abuse that was happening and all kinds of different things. What were some of your challenges?
Right. I think for me, from the very beginning, I never saw myself as I could use the word victim, like my gender was never something that was ever going to be in my way. So it took me to kind of get hit upside the head before I realized, oh, my gender is kind of, you know, a little in the way here. And that would come through in some comments that comrades might make, like, this is really, this is a man's, you know, field. This is a... we just let you girls in. We had to. Things like that. And they weren't joking. But I'd just look at them and say, okay, well, here we are.
Right.
So I never let it really inhibit my optimism and my drive to excel. Now, I will say, though, in 1984, just as I was graduating from basic training, there was a sergeant in a foxhole who thought that it was his duty to put his hand in my, backside, helping me up a ladder to get out of an M60 training foxhole. I did tell my drill sergeants about that, and so he was a consequence for that. But back then, I think because of those times in particular, I asked to face that person directly to really help him experience what it was like. Look me in the eye as a human being. And what would you feel like if that happened to your, you know, sister, your mother, your aunt, your daughter someday? But I never was afforded the opportunity to face him directly. And that felt like a gender bias thing. But I did stay in the military for a full 20 years, and I will say just right up front, I resigned my commission because of the same type of behavior that was boasted about by the then candidate in 2016, where I can grab them, you know, I don't want to use the same language, but wow, that was such a reminder of the liberties that sometimes men will take. And that's the gender bias. And it does happen to men in the military as well. But I did resign because of that experience being triggered by someone who was soon to be our commander-in-chief.
Well, that was a very courageous step to take, my goodness. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, what an example for other women to stand up, how important it is to stand up, you know, for not only our rights, but for our own power as women, that we don't have to be abused in that way, because that is a form of abuse. So thank you so much for sharing that. Well, you know, what's so interesting to me about you, that here you are 20 years in the military, you had the courage, you know, you come in, like you said, you were an ideal, you have a certain agenda in your own self, your own idealism, and then all of a sudden you decide to retire because you're not happy with some of the sexist remarks and some of the issues that are happening around this particular election, and then suddenly you decide to develop this program called, you know, the Peace Poles. When did you first learn about the universal message of peace? You know, when did that all of a sudden hit you that you said, that's what we need to be working for? We need to be working for peace, and this is something that I can do.
Right. Thank you. So let me tie the two things together. When you have a servant heart and you believe that you are in it for peace and freedom and self-determination for all people, so that lives inside of me. In 1999, I was working in Waterbury, Connecticut as a full-time speech and language pathologist in a high school, and a woman who shared a divided office space was the social worker for the same high school, and she invited me to the World Peace Sanctuary in Wassaic, New York, which is about 2 hours outside of New York City, in what you might call upstate, more of like upstate New York. But I definitely went to that festival, and it was so amazing to experience the Peace Pole path on that land. So it was about a 5-foot-wide path meandering down into this valley, and it was donated to the World Peace Sanctuary by the native people of that land in that area. And as you walk down this path that was 5 feet wide, every 3 feet, there was planted, and I say planted because it's a 4x4 post in the ground secured with quickcrete, which is a fast-drying cement. And so, like any, let's say, mailbox post or a fence post, it's that type of thing, and on all 4 sides of the post is inscribed the message, "May peace prevail on earth," in any language that a person would choose, and other phrases are available. On that particular path, in front of each pole was a plaque that told you what country you were reading. So each sovereign nation in the world has a dedicated peace pole at the Wassaic, New York Peace Sanctuary. When I went to that and stood before those peace poles and realized that, wow, someone in this world, or several people, made the time and took the priority to make a peace pole for every sovereign nation, it just so resonated with me, Elaine. And right around the same time, you guys, if you remember, 1999 was when Columbine happened. And even then, I was just so, you know, shaken to the core. What is happening to our kids, and how can they get so lost in this behavior of maybe reacting to feelings of isolation and bullying? Then after I saw the World Peace Sanctuary and the Peace Pole Path, I decided that I would also plant at least one peace pole every year, but on a public school campus. So I formally started that. My first one was planted in the fall of 2001.
Let me ask you a question before you talk a little bit more about the planting. What does the peace pole look like? I mean, what is it? Talk a little bit about it. I mean, how do you come? What's the design and what's the idea?
Sure. Well, the first thing I can say is there's many variations of a peace pole. So if you look at worldpeace.org, O-R-G, you will find there the history, the vision, and the mission of this universal message spreading around the world, and you will see different types of peace poles. Also, if you Google peace poles and just hit images, then you will see 12-sided peace poles, 8-sided peace poles, or what I have decided to align with is the standard 4x4 white vinyl post, because it's now a renewable, you know, I'm not using wood, I'm not fabricating with metal, it's a PVC type material. A lot of people use it for fencing now, and it's hollow, so you can easily put that in the ground with quickcrete, and up and down each side of the 4x4 post is inscribed, "May peace prevail on earth," in any language you choose. You can also choose things like, "May peace be in our homes and our communities," "May peace be in our hearts." You know, I do want to say that this message, "May peace prevail on earth," came through the heart of Masahisa Goi after the bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki in 1955. So when I am on a school campus and helping to have the unveiling and dedication, I remind students there that if Masahisa Goi could experience such a horrific event and come through that experience with a positive call to action, that we universally wish for peace.
You know, it just...
Go ahead.
It just gives me the chills just hearing that. You know, I mean,
right.
You know,
me too. If he could do that after experiencing
right.
the atomic bombings, then surely all of us can find a way to be gracious and wish for peace and healing. Peace is actually more sustainable, which is then more profitable than war, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness. You know, it's just talking about it, just the idea that this is even out there, that we can bring this information across the airways to let people know, and just all these different websites. A reminder to my listeners, all the different websites that Renee Marie has mentioned will also be on Women's Spaces at www.womenspaces.com. Okay, Renee Marie, so here you are, Major Renee Marie. You got this idea, you see the peace poles, and now you're going to the schools. Well, how did you manage to do that? What were some of your challenges? Did they just welcome you with open arms, or was there a debate? Did you have to go in front of the school board? I mean, how did it happen?
Well, as it is for human nature, every experience is a little different, right?
Right.
So, there have been times when I have literally carried a peace pole into a meeting so they can see it. I feel that tangible objects, and like I like to refer to the peace pole as an acupuncture point of light. And it's non-political, it's not religious, and even if you look at worldpeace.org, you will see that the universal message and world peace .org is recognized by the Department of Information under the United Nations. So I would use things like that as an introduction to the idea. And so that people who are listening and deciding, you know, I want to say the stakeholders or the people who I need to get to yes, they need to know that this project is not aligned with a political message or any divisive religious, you know, slant. And that really helps. It really is a unifying message.
I think a reason it's a unifying message because I think in our hearts, all of us want peace and always are trying to find a way to stand up for it without having all the other things come in, the political, the religion, all these different things that, although I can't help but think in my mind, you know, there is a saying, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. I mean, for the Christians out there that are listening, I mean, peace is a very important step, actually, to, you know, bringing more and more humans together and having a greater planet and a greater living arrangement. I mean, it's just...
Exactly. And you know what I'm going to share, and I take a risk in sharing this because people have their own ideas about atheists, but I am an agnostic/atheist, even though I did attend a 2-year residential Christian college in Villanova, Pennsylvania. That was my very first formal education experience, and it was a great time of my life. If I feel that it's helpful, I will disclose that in a meeting. Because again, I want people to know that as a warrior for, I would say, the country, also in my idealism, the right for people to live free of oppression, especially when we are asked by those people to help free them, and that gets into a little more of the, you know, political conundrum that warring will cause. Anyway, when I'm trying to get to a yes in a meeting regarding the planting of a peace pole on a school campus, sometimes I feel moved to share that I'm an atheist, at times agnostic. This is not something that I do to bash the military or to align with any political or religious agenda. And that has been helpful at times.
I think it's also an important statement because people have to separate themselves from that. You know, when you're looking at peace, a peace pole, you have to separate yourself from all those other beliefs and look at what is it, what's the statement here? The statement is, let's look at ways to have peace on earth. You know, we're coming, you know, time goes by really, really, really quickly. So I'd like you to give one memory that you have or something about a peace pole dedication. And then also, what inspires you to continue inviting school administrators to create and dedicate, you know, one of these peace poles in their school? I mean, I'm sure there's some resistance. And what is your motivation?
Yes.
What keeps you going? I know there's always resistance. I remember when I just tried to bring a National Women's History Month, trying to bring a film about women and, you know, suffrage. It was very, very difficult. But you had to just kind of keep hanging in there, you know, keep bringing your point across. So what inspires you and what is one of the memories that you have about putting a pole into one of the schools?
Oh, gosh. Right away with that question, of course, I've thought about three in particular. I'll share the first one, Kabul, Afghanistan, on the International Day of Peace, September 21st, 2010. I was the commander of the unit. Before we went to Kabul, I sent an email to my battalion commander saying, "Sir, I respectfully request that you allow me to continue with a personal promise while we are in Kabul." And I further explained, every year I gift, I don't make them pay for it back then, I will gift and dedicate a peace pole on a school campus every year. And so without going into more detail on that and how long it took, he finally said yes, and I was given a security detail. And those warriors drove that peace pole on a combat vehicle down through the streets of Kabul, you know, with security all around them. And we gifted it to the Marifat School, over 900 co-ed students. And when I arrived with my team, the children handed us flowers. I mean, it was absolutely humbling to the point where it was difficult to even speak in that environment. There were, you know, hundreds of people there. And a man came up to the stage when I was beginning to speak with my through my interpreter, and his hand was trembling. He was dressed in his authentic tribal, you know, clothing. And I still have this little note, and it said, "Ma'am, first you welcomed here. Next, if ambassador for peace, why in uniform?" And that's the thing, you guys, you know, to be in the lion's den, to work in the uniform as a warrior for peace, and to be advocating for the universal message of peace, those two things together can be seen as very confusing. And it is hard to make, you know, this absolute peace within myself about that. But that memory alone was so powerful. And I asked the people there, students and adults and media, if you would feed the wolf of peace, please stand with me and say, and then we did May Peace Prevail on Earth in both Farsi and Pashto. And I will share, I just want to share one other message, though. Before I left for Afghanistan, I had a Peace Pole dedication at a local school here in East Sacramento. And a fourth grader raised her hand excitedly, didn't want to be held back. And I said, "Oh, okay, honey, what's your question?" She said, "Well, from everything I've seen and heard here today, I promise to never bully again." And that's the impact statement. That's why I'm compelled to continue doing it. Well, not only Afghanistan, that experience was tremendous, but that little girl who made that promise and all the people who heard that day.
Well, you know, it's interesting when you talk about here you are in a war zone, somewhat of a war zone, bringing a peace pole. I mean, it almost, like you say, there's a question mark here. But at the same time, I really believe if you bring vibrations in, if you bring ideas, you bring thought, you know, they have different ways of manifestation. And I think right now, the way the world is I think we're having a wake-up call and we're questioning. I think we're questioning, how do we have peace? How can
we? What do you resonate? What do you resonate?
And also, all of us, you know, one of the things I do is I do a thing called the Women's Spaces Pledge. And because of this interview with you, I didn't do the whole thing. I just want you to know I'm just so happy to have you on. But I was thinking about that, you know, about women standing up, that we need that self-esteem. And for me, the self-esteem builds on the fact that if we can make that a kind of impression on young people where she would stand up, like she must have known that she was bullying somebody or doing something, and all of a sudden she's making it vow that she's not going to do that anymore.
Oh, yeah. The teachers later told me about that student and the impression that peace pole made on her. And like I shared with the kids, these are five little words: may peace prevail on earth. If you can just remember those, and sometimes you'll have to say, may peace prevail in me, may peace prevail in you. Five little words. Just go inside, find those words, and live your best life.
Well, you know, Renee Marie, I can't think of a better way to end our segment than to hear something like that you've said, you know, and it's such a beautiful, beautiful message. And I think the most important thing is that, you know, like you said, you did serve in the military, you know, you did see all kinds of different sides of war, of frustration, of challenges for women, and then come to the conclusion that you're going to work for peace, to me, is an amazing statement. So what
live
I would like...
your best life, yeah, and I do want to just add, there are over 200,000 peace poles in the world. They've been planted in very significant places since the 1970s.
Wow. Well, what I would like you to do now is give your website, any last words, anything you'd like to say. I know it's very important.
Oh.
You know, just whatever you feel is
thank
it. Like you.
You
said, you're a woman of the heart. You know, you have that server heart. I can totally relate to that, you know.
I know you can.
So this was just amazing to me, and I hope that our listeners, just listen to this. You know, listen to how important it is that each one of us, on some level, can do something for peace, whether it's bringing a peace pole in or just talking to your children about it, just thinking about it.
And, you know, we can say, stand for something or fall for anything.
Oh, I love that. Stand for something or fall for anything.
Or fall for anything. And also, Colin Powell, General Colin Powell, retired, said, optimism is a force multiplier. So whatever's happening in the world, everybody, just remember, you can resonate with optimism. That's a healing power for yourself, and it will resonate just like the peace pole is an acupuncture point of positive light. Check out Peace Poles for Schools on Facebook. If you care to do a Facebook like, that would be wonderful. And I'll continue with my grassroots planting of peace poles on school campuses.
Well, thank you so much, Major Brené Marie. It's been an absolute honor to not only be able to interview you, but to have had some of the wonderful conversations that we've had together. And keep up the good work. And
thanks, Elaine.
And thank you so much.
If anyone wants to have further dialogue with me, they can get my email through you, right?
Well, if you want to say it, go ahead.
Okay, it would be Peace Poles, P-O-L-E-S, don't do P-O-L-L-S, Peace Poles for Schools at gmail.com.
Well, thank you so much, Brené Marie. It's been an absolute honor to interview you. Well, folks, that's it for our show. A special thank you to Eva Granahan, to Appley Ever After, I love that, which will be happening at the Arlene Francis Center in Santa Rosa on September 10th. And a big, big shout out and thank you to Major Brené Marie, United States Army, retired 2017.
Thank you, Elaine. Have a beautiful day. Happy Labor Day, everyone.
This is Elaine B. Holtz, and you've been listening to Women's Spaces. Remember, our children are the future, and we must never lose sight of that. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
Is you.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, September 5th, 2022.